listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Every once in a while, you come across a Christian hymn that really can't be replicated. It kind of stands in a class by itself. Lo, how a rose e'er blooming. If you haven't heard it, well, you're going to hear it in the next hour. And if you have, you can never forget it. It has, by the way, as great a hymn as it is, a very interesting history. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Christmas Eve. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's show studying the Christmas hymn, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming, with Pastor Will Whedon. And an hour from now, we'll discuss holiday depression with Dr. Beverly Yonke. Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. He's host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
I understand that this hymn has a very interesting history. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, in the High Middle Ages, this piety takes hold in the West. I mean, in the old hymns used to sing about Mary's role in salvation, you know, from the biblical text, like you have in Savior of the Nations Come, right? But then in the Middle Ages, you have this shift where, borrowing from the East, you begin to get more and more of these hymns and prayers and stuff addressed to Mary herself. And she kind of shoves Jesus off the center stage and takes that place. And that featured, that runs through a number of prayers and antiphons and hymns. And the Lutherans loved the melodies of these things, and they wanted to keep them. And so they came up with a way that they, their word for it was emendata, which I think we could just maybe translate as fixed. You know, they fixed the stuff by rerouting them to Christ. And I wanted to give a few examples because this hymn is going to be of a piece with these examples, if that's okay. So, Salve Regina, that's a very famous Roman Catholic antiphon. Hail, Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, sweetness, hope, hail. To you we cry, exiled children of Eve. To you we send up our sighs, groaning and moaning in this valley of tears. Turn our advocate upon us, your merciful eyes, and show us, Jesus, the blessed fruit of your womb after this exile. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Now, the Lutherans are not going to go for that, right? I mean, that's a prayer to Mary that runs foul of the biblical. I mean, there's neither example nor promise nor command for us to address the saints in this way in the scriptures.
We honor Mary highly, as we are commanded to do so in the scripture, but that's a bridge too far.
Right. It went too far. So the Lutherans weren't ready to get rid of it, though. They took it and they just shifted the whole thing over to Jesus. So listen to this. Hail, Jesus Christ, King of mercy, our life, sweetness, and hope. Hail. To you we cry, exiled children of Eve. To you we send up our sighs and moanings in this valley of tears. Turn therefore our advocate upon us, your merciful eyes. O blessed Jesus, show us the face of your Father after this exile. O clement, O loving, O sweet Jesus Christ. Isn't that...
You fix it by just simply taking everything that they had addressed to Mary and addressing it to its proper object.
Yes. And, you know, that particular prayer actually made it into, it went down in use all the way to our own day, because Wilhelm Leah included in his Seed Grains of Prayer, which is still being published by Emmanuel Press today. Now, a similar job was done on the Regina Coeli, which is, you know, an Easter antiphon to the Virgin. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia, for he whom you merited to bear, alleluia, is risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, Virgin Mary, alleluia, because the Lord is risen indeed, alleluia. So the Lutherans took that little puppy and they just kept the tune of the old chant. And they switched the words to, rejoice in Christ the Redeemer, alleluia. For he was struck by the Father for the sins of his people, alleluia. He is risen, just as he said, alleluia. Pray for us, Christ, who at the right hand of God the Father are located. Victor over sin, death, and hell, our one propitiator, high priest, the church's head. O loving King, make us rise with you, alleluia. I mean, so you just hear what they're doing here. So I want to get that picture in our heads. Lutherans were doing this already early on with these medieval antiphons and hymns. So what do you do when the Roman Catholics, after the Reformation, write a really cool hymn that even has a nice tune attached to it? Well, that's the story of the hymn that we're going to study today. The rose in the original version was the Blessed Virgin. And in the Lutheran recension, the rose is shifted to the Lord Jesus himself. So like stanza 2 in the original, the little rose that I mean of which Isaiah spoke is Mary, the pure one, who brought us the little flower out of God's eternal counsel. She bore a little child and remained a pure virgin. But when the Lutherans deal with that stanza, and this is the literal translation of how they do it, the little rose that I mean of which Isaiah spoke was brought to us solely by Mary, the pure maiden. Out of God's eternal counsel, she bore a child in the middle of the night. So you can see in that, and what they did with that hymn, it was the same principle at work. So when this hymn first shows up, it's part of a 16th century manuscript of Frater Conradus, and the earliest version of it has like 23 stanzas as usual back then, right? You know, I mean, it does the entire story of the incarnation through to the visit of the Magi. It's all there. But it was just about 10 years after it was first printed that the great Lutheran composer, Michael Praetorius, decided to include it in his collection. And this is an absolutely stunning collection of music, the Music of Zion, right? Right from Isaiah 35, you will come with singing on your heads, right? Singing, you will come to Zion and everlasting joy will crown your heads and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So the Music of Zion is just this beautiful church music that Praetorius sets. And he was such a stinking genius that he penned an arrangement of this melody, which has been recognized by church musicians ever since as like, that's the perfect four-part harmony to a hymn. You can't do better than this. And I think it even was so popular with his melody and then with the words that he published with it that even a lot of Roman Catholics still sing it the way the Lutherans changed it.
What would you say of the biblical text for this?
Well, you know, we're going to see as we work our way through it that it's not like a single biblical text shines through. Obviously, it is assigned for Christmas night. So Luke 2 is huge in the background. But above all, the shock of what Luke 2 actually proclaims to you, that who this child is that Mary gives to us, that's what runs through the hymn. Hey, you know, I should add also that in our hymnal, the third stanza, we do know who wrote that. I mean, so the first two stanzas, we don't know the name of the original composer or of the Lutheran who changed them or fitted them. It is possible Praetorius fixed them himself. But the third stanza is from the German Lutheran pastor Friedrich Lartz. He died in 1859. The final stanza in LSB is the original 22nd stanza in the earliest printed version, but it follows the same principle and shifts the stanza from being addressed to Mary as Queen of Heaven and begging her to bring us home to the angels. It asks instead all of this of Jesus.
Here is the first stanza of the hymn, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. Lo, how a rose e'er blooming from tender stem hath sprung, of Jesse's lineage coming, as prophets long have sung. It came, a floweret bright, amid the cold of winter, when half spent was the night. Would you highlight in this first stanza of Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming?
Well, first, we want to make sure that you're hearing "e'er" right, because I mean, "e'er" can mean before, right? Long ere it happened. That's not this "e'er." This is eliding the word "ever." So the rose is ever blooming. Both Matthew and Luke, in their genealogies, trace the Lord Jesus' genealogy through David and his father Jesse. However, Matthew goes through Solomon for the legal kingship, which he then traces down to Joseph. And Luke goes through Nathan for the physical genealogy, which we assume is that of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Either way, Jesus comes to us from the line of Jesse. But what did the hymn mean when it said, as prophets long have sung? What is that? Well, I think the passage that's in view is from Isaiah 11. Verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And then you have the same thing happen at verse 10 of the same chapter. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand as an ensign of the people. To it the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I think also the writer might have had in mind Micah, since he foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, right? But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the end of the earth. The tradition that Christ was born in winter, while not actually attested to by the scriptures, is historically tied to the notion that great men died on the day they were conceived. So if the death of the Lord happened to be around March 25th, then you would celebrate his birth around December 25th. That's the Western Church's practice. The Eastern Church thought his death was more likely on April 6th, and so they actually observed the birth itself as they celebrate what we call Epiphany, they call Theophany, on January 6th. There's also then this notion of it's the middle of the night. Where does that come from? That's fascinating too. That's actually borrowed from the Apocrypha, from the Book of Wisdom, where you read in chapter 18, verses 14 and 15, for while all things were in quiet silence and the night was in the midst of her swift course, thine almighty word leaped down from heaven out of thy royal throne. So that's even the antiphon that's used at our divine service for the midnight mass on Christmas. And this idea then makes it into popular carols such as It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. It is certain that the angels appeared to the shepherds as they were watching over their flocks by night. But whether it was the exact middle of the night, you know, midnight, we don't know.
We are studying the hymn Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming with Pastor Will Whedon. He's host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Stanza 2 on the other side of the break. Isaiah 'twas foretold it, the rose I have in mind. With Mary we behold it, the Virgin Mother kind, to show God's love aright, she bore to us a Savior when half spent was the night. If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for including Issues Etc. in your year-end giving.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Old Theology, New Technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
When Jesus walked with his disciples to Emmaus, they had lost hope. But he opened the scriptures, broke bread, and gave it to them, and they knew him. At Emmaus Lutheran Church in Redmond, Oregon, Jesus repeats this miracle every Sunday. He makes himself known among us in preaching and the sacrament of his body and turns our sorrow to joy. Join us for divine service Sundays at 9 and visit our website, www.emmauslcms.org.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. We're studying this hymn on this Friday, Christmas Eve. You do have to marvel. You have to marvel at this arrangement because it's a masterpiece. I'm not a musician, but I imagine musicians have looked at this Praetorius setting and said, I can't fix it. I can't improve it. It's just good straight out of the box.
It really is. It probably drove our music people crazy at St. Paul's, but I would absolutely insist that the choir had to sing this every single year. That was not up for grabs. We're going to sing Lo, How a Rose. And we often did it during a lessons and carol ceremony. But I think there's so much here we need to pick up. I want to pick up one thing from the beginning that I should have commented on. I mean, I talked about the air. Ever blooming. So let's not lose this. The weird thing about roses in this world is that as gorgeous as they are, right, they begin to fall apart and drop their petals and they're not always perfect. But this rose that we are describing here in the Lord Jesus, he is described as simply being ever blooming. It suggests the eternity that he shares with his Father. And so we not only have Jesse mentioned in stanza one, but in this stanza, you specifically have Isaiah called out. And clearly the passage in mind is Isaiah 7:14, right? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. shall call his name Emmanuel, because he is God with us. This child that she bears is ever blooming. He brings his eternity into our flesh. So Mary brings forth the perfect rose, and that's always regarded as the perfect flower, and that is Jesus. And do you notice then Mary's not then just sort of shoved to the side? Rather, Mary is in awe beholding the little rose, and we are summoned to marvel with the Virgin Mother at the child she has brought forth. So notice how with Jesus' birth, you have what doesn't ordinarily cohere holding tight together. So you've got God and man, and you also have in Mary, Virgin and Mother. Jesus is both God and man, and Mary is both Virgin and Mother, and it was so that she might show us God's love that the child is born. So 1 John 4, I can never sing the stanza and not think of these words. In this, the love of God was made manifest or revealed, disclosed among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. To show God's love aright, she bore to us a Savior.
Isaiah is mentioned there, and then in that previous stanza, the prophets, more general term for that, this is the culmination and the fulfillment of long promises.
Yeah, I mean, you can trace the promises all the way back from the Garden of Eden, right? The Proto-Evangelion, Genesis 3:15, where God promised that the seed of the woman would come, who would crush the head of the serpent. And if you start tracing it all the way through, you'll notice that the promises always circle around the promise of a child, right? I mean, if you look through the genealogies in Genesis, you see time and again, when Eve gives birth to Cain, she thinks, oh, this is the one, right? When Noah is born, his dad thinks, he's the one. This is the one that'll do the job. I mean, they're always looking for this promised child who would undo the ancient damage and restore us to what God had made us to be from the beginning. And the prophets just continue that pattern all the way down. I mean, Isaiah is probably the clearest when you get to, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders.
And that's picked up in that line in this stanza, she bore to us a Savior. I think it was recently Pastor Peter Bender was talking about Handel's Messiah, which is nothing more than unto us a child is born, that section of Handel's Messiah, and saying he thinks that the way Handel arranged that particular piece was to drive home like a jackhammer.
For unto us.
To us, to us, to yeah, us. Yeah, yeah. Why is that so important? If this were an ordinary situation, we would say she bore this child to Joseph. He's the most proximate parent there. But this is to the world.
Yeah, no. You can't get away from the way the angel actually announced it to the shepherds on Christmas Eve, right? Where the angel says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Unto you, to get that unto you, to us, to all people. And the angel made clear right before that this child is the bringer of good news, of great joy for all people. So there's no one excluded from this joy. I mean, by far, my favorite Christmas homily ever delivered is Pope St. Leo the Great's Christmas homily, where he just goes through and says, you may not be sad today. It is not lawful for you to be sad today, because everybody has an equal share in the reason we are joyful today. For us, this child is born. For us. So yeah, no, I love how Handel actually just hammers that home. It's a beautiful truth.
And I want you, it's a simple thing, but I want you to describe that this is the one word that, while it doesn't carry everything that Christ has done, it does encapsulate everything that Christ is for us, and that is Savior. It's easy to kind of gloss past that because it's such a familiar word to us. What is the biblical import of a Savior?
Well, you know, when you think about Savior, I always think we need to be very careful that we think in two directions at the same time. You need salvation from some stuff, but you also need salvation for some stuff, and Christ fully delivers on both ends. So what do you need salvation from? You need salvation from your sin, from the corruption of your sin, the way it's distorted, the creature that God made and turned it into this bundle of self-obsessed desires and will. And that need, you need salvation from that. And that thing is just headed straight toward death, and it's headed straight toward hell. I mean, that's the judgment of God upon that turn in on self. You need salvation from that. So the Savior does. He literally intervenes to turn you around. He intervenes in such a way that he will change the human being from being internally focused to actually beginning to notice there's a world out there and to gear us toward the Heavenly Father. And when we do that, he wants us to see what he's saving us for, to be filled with his Spirit, to be a partaker of the divine life, and to come home with him to the Father's house.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We are studying this great Christmas hymn, Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. We'll be right back with Stanza 3.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, as the days of Christmas roll on, we continue our feasting on Ephesians with the Word of Truth, Thanksgiving, and Prayer, Parts 1 and 2, Born Spiritually Dead, and finally, Saved by Grace. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Holy Shepherd Lutheran, Haslett, Texas. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Emmett, Idaho. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. St. Peter Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin. Trinity Lutheran, Okmulgee, Oklahoma. And Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Christmas hymn, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming, with Pastor Will Whedon, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study, produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Whedon, you just began a study yesterday of Ephesians. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, man, that's definitely one of my all-time favorite books. There's a question, of course, whether or not the title is actually correct. Did he write to the Ephesians? There's some incongruity in the letter, if that is the case, that he was actually addressing the Christians in Ephesus. But what's beyond doubt is that Ephesians and Colossians together form this beautiful unity where Colossians is all about what God's given you in Jesus, and Ephesians is all about the mystery of the church. And both of them are united together then by this phrase, in Christ. In Christ. What's all yours in Christ? And that's how Paul opens up more joy than you can ever begin to actually assimilate in this life in that particular epistle. I dearly love Ephesians.
You can listen to Pastor Will Whedon and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org and on your favorite podcast provider. Here is stanza 3 of Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. This flower whose fragrance tender with sweetness fills the air, dispels with glorious splendor the darkness everywhere. True man, yet very God, from sin and death he saves us and lightens every load. It is a little bit of mixing of metaphors. We got a fragrance that dispels darkness, but take us into this stanza.
I was going to start with that exact point. It's like, you know, Pastor Lyatz, who wrote this one, obviously didn't listen when his teacher told him, you're not supposed to mix metaphors. But this mixing of metaphors here is so beautiful that I think you're going to pardon him for doing it. So he talks, first of all, about the flower having a fragrance tender. Well, anybody who has been around roses knows that they do have the most wonderful smell, right? I can be walking down the street and I smell a rose. I want to stop and turn and put my nose right down into the flower itself. It's such a wonderful odor. And it's described as a tender fragrance that fills the air with its sweetness. But then it's like, you know, he suddenly shifts and the fragrance of Christ himself is what then dispels darkness everywhere. A visible kind of a fragrance? St. Paul spoke of preaching the gospel as spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere, and how we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, a fragrance of life to life, 2 Corinthians 2. So the sweet smell of the gospel is both the fragrance of divine love and the fresh zephyr of the resurrection, which Jesus himself is and brings. And it is both the love and the life that are in him, which dispels the darkness everywhere. Do you remember John 1 had that line in it? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness of this age. And the darkness has not overcome it or has not understood it. I like overcome it better there. This above all means the darkness of sin and the darkness of death. And the reason the darkness doesn't stand a chance against the sweet smelling odor of life is because of who that rose is from which it emanates. He is true man, yet very God. He comes to save us from the enemies of sin and death. And did you catch that line at the end? And lighten every load. I mean, you can't hear that and not immediately think of Jesus Christ saying in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It may seem like the way of Jesus Christ is the harder way, but it never is. It's when you actually submit to that yoke of his and you begin to let that love fill you and become the grounding of your life that you find out everything is easier to bear. Absolutely everything that comes down the pike is easier to bear because of who is bearing it with you. You were meant for fellowship with him.
I wanted you to also focus a little bit on the darkness everywhere, because both in the beginning of John's gospel and then throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus, especially as recorded in John, Jesus views the world he has entered as a world that is devoid of light. He is the only light there is in this world.
Yeah, I mean, one of the beautiful pictures in John's gospel where this shows is in the man born blind, right? This is how Jesus perceives all of us, all of his brothers and sisters. All of us apart from him are actually blind to the reality of his Father's love. We're blind to the reality of the incarnation and what prompted it and to what its goal is. We're just blind. We don't get it. And we have a very dark and distorted image of who the Father is. I always turn to that horrible show from our youth, Todd. Remember Maude? And how whenever Walter said anything stupid, Maude would always slow down and say, "Walter, God is going to get you for that." And that God who is going to get you is the God that native man is terrified of, and his guilty conscience is always filled with the darkness of fear about what God's going to do to pay us back. And Jesus is like, "You guys don't even have the first clue. You do not have the first clue, because if you did, you would realize that what God did wasn't to pay you back, but to come and bear your burden, to bear it in your place, that he might be able to spill out on you an everlasting love."
Why is it so important, back to basic questions, that this child born of Mary is, as he says there and as you mentioned before, true man, yet also God?
Well, you know, if your Savior is only a man, he saved himself and nobody else. For there to be saving worth to what the Savior did for all people, it needed to be of infinite worth. And what is of more infinite worth than the very blood of God spilled for us, right? He comes to pour out that blood. I mean, St. Paul, when he's talking to the Ephesian elders, he stresses this. That is the blood of God that bought us back. This is huge. Because when you realize it's God's blood, then you realize there is no greater power in the world than that blood and the forgiveness that's in it. It's bigger than all this world. It's certainly bigger than any sin of yours or mine. Put it all together and it just fades before the love that is in that divine blood.
Stanza 4 of "Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming." O Savior, child of Mary, who felt our human woe. O Savior, King of glory, who dost our weakness know. Bring us at length, we pray, to the bright courts of heaven and to the endless day.
Breathe.
That's the fourth stanza of Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. This is just a tremendous stanza. I mean, you had to pare this thing down from what you said, a dozen stanzas.
23.
This is tremendous. What makes this so appropriate for rightly remembering the birth of Christ?
Well, first of all, notice that this is the stanza that's been shifted away from Mary being asked to do this to us, to addressing her son. The way I always picture it, Todd, is up in heaven when devout Roman Catholics or devout Orthodox or whatever, they raise their intercession to the Blessed Virgin. You know, the mail arrives there on the table in heaven. I think she looks at it and goes, oh, they misaddressed it again, and hands it over to her son. I mean, this is obviously for you, not for me. So that's what the Lutherans did with the stanza. They shifted it right towards Jesus himself. So Savior Child of Mary, the first thing that is noted about this Savior Child is that he felt our human woe. He actually knows all the horrible things that can happen to a human being through time and through cruelty. I mean, he's tasted them in his flesh. He knows what it is to be insulted. He knows what it is to be spit on. He knows what it is to be beaten, to endure whipping. He knows what it is even to die. He knows it all the way through. So he felt our human woe. I almost thought you could translate that to who felt all human woe. There is no woe of yours, no sorrow of your life that he is a stranger to. And he is also the Savior who is the King of Glory. And yet, though he is the, and when you hear King of Glory, you better always be thinking of Psalm 24, right? You know, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Well, yeah, but he showed his might in battle in the strangest way by being laid in a manger and then nailed to a tree. This is how he conquers? Yes, this is how he conquers, because love is stronger than all, and that's what he's showing there. But he knows our weakness. He knows every last bit of it. He knows it from the inside. And I can't help but think of the passage in Hebrews 4:15, right? Our high priest is one who was in every respect tempted as we are, and yet without sin. He knows it from the inside. And yet, did you notice what we pray? Bring us at length, we pray, to the bright courts of heaven and to the endless day. What had he said that he would do in John 14? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. But where is this place? What is this mansion, the Father's house? What is this? The description of it as endless day is very dear to me. I always picture, do you have those moments when you were a kid, Todd? I don't know, maybe you're with the cousins or whatever. It was like the perfect day. It was summer. It was awesome. You didn't want it to end. You're like looking at the sun and saying, don't set. You know, this was such a perfect day. I want it to go on forever. That's what you finally get, the endless day. That should remind you of Revelation 21, verse 25, there will be no night there. It should remind you of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 30, verse 26. The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And the day when the Lord God binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wounds inflicted by his blow. And finally, Isaiah 60, verse 20, your sun will go down no more, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning will be ended. All the days that you, that's not mourning, I mean, that's mourning with a U, right? So your days of weeping will be over. You're not going to have grief and sadness anymore, because the Lord himself is going to shine his light upon you, and that is the light of the divine love he's given you in Mary's son.
We're studying the Christmas hymn, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is our guest. When we return, we will hear the entire hymn and get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts. Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Christmas hymn, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. Our guest is Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. If you appreciate our hymn studies, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. For a year-end contribution of $250 or more, we'll send you a new recording of 14 Easter season hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir and our latest book, Objections Overruled 2, Answering Arguments Against Christianity. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2021. Here is the entire hymn, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming.
Thank you.
Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the Christmas hymn, Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming. Will, your final thoughts on this hymn?
You know, that night the angels had proclaimed glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I can't help but think that this hymn gives you the sound of peace. It ushers you into the stable cave to see the miracle of all miracles, to see the greatness of God's love for the human race in taking human flesh into unity with this divine person. And I think that once we see that, then what this hymn does with Mary is absolutely a key. Do you remember when John the Baptist had disciples who wanted to make a little bit too much out of John the Baptist? And John said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He must increase and I must decrease. So all the saints say, we need to actually see the increase of Christ. And we need to see the saints in stepping back from the center stage and directing all their attention toward the little one. So I think if you picture Mary here this night in this hymn, you see that she is inviting you to marvel with her at the love that the Father has shown us in giving us a Savior. Dr. Luther, he preached on Christmas Day back in 1522. He said, this is the great joy the angel speaks of. This is God's comfort and his surpassing goodness, that man, if he believeth, may glory in such a treasure, that Mary be his very mother, Christ his brother, and God his father. For all these things have truly happened, that we might believe them.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you very much for your time, and a blessed nativity to you and yours.
To you and yours as well, and to all our hearers.
Next hour, we'll discuss holiday depression with clinical psychologist Dr. Beverly Yonke of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.